Welcome to this week's presentation of Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Please join us for the next half hour for what we pray will be an edifying time of thoughtful discussion and helpful dialogue on contemporary issues involving the precious truth of God's Word. Your hosts today are Pastors Ken Billings and Tim Goad.
Well, here we are again, guys.
Good morning.
Seems like just last week we did this.
It seems that way, but it hasn't been.
No, it's been a few weeks now.
I don't know if our vast listening audience realizes we don't record these every week, so we have like a few week gap between when we record it.
Exactly.
It's on the radio.
And the weather has turned chilly here in San Antonio.
It has.
And I've developed a significant head cold because of it. And I foolishly, although I enjoyed it, I went to a high school football game last night.
All right.
Watched the New Braunfels Unicorns beat up on the Theodore Roosevelt Rough Riders.
There's a famous NFL player right now from New Braunfels, isn't there? Maybe not.
I don't know, but there was a famous man named Theodore Roosevelt.
I think Drew Brees.
I have that.
From there. I'm not sure.
Was he with Theodore Roosevelt when they charged up San Juan Hill?
Unicorns, I think.
Oh, okay.
I might be wrong, though.
Alas, we digress yet again. You know, you
Sports
were
talk San Antonio.
Exactly. Earlier, Kenny was regaling us with his command of the Yiddish language.
Yiddish.
Chutzpah.
Or
yeah.
So
anyway,
what we're talking about.
What we're talking about today, we're continuing our discussion of Mark Dever's Nine Marks of a Healthy Church. Great book.
Right.
I recommend it to everyone listening to this program. If you don't already own that book, you need to get a copy of that book and read it. It's a very, very well-written book, very informative, mm-hmm. very convicting, some of the things we've been talking about. Most recently, we've been talking about...
And by the way, if you can't read the book... You might as well just listen to this, the broadcast, because we're pretty much going through
there you go.
About every chapter of it or every section.
This could be said to be the expanded edition.
Yes.
Of, yeah, the audio expanded edition of Mark Dever's book. I'm not sure he would approve of that.
Right.
But
this has not been approved by Mark Dever.
Exactly. But we're trying our best, Pastor Mark, so at any rate.
I'm sitting here listening to this talk.
We're just rambling on incessantly.
I'm waiting and praying that we will get into the subject as soon as possible.
Okay, and the subject at hand is the gospel. And most recently we've discussed, you know, a cursory analysis of the gospel. What is it? What is it not?
Right.
Now we're going to get into what are the essential elements of the gospel. Whenever we talk about the gospel, it's helpful and important to remember the four essentials. God, man, Christ, and response.
Very good.
Let's talk about God first. He should come first anyway, but...
Always a good place to start.
That's always a good place to start.
Start at the very beginning.
You know, we laugh about that. We make light of that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's something that needs to be understood. I think that we live in a world where man is always the place where people start.
Right.
You know, in many churches, the message is simply God loves you. And that's good news, that he loves you and he wants to save you if you'll only cooperate. But we need to turn it back on God, who is both our sovereign creator and our righteous judge. There are a few passages here. Ken, why don't you take us through these passages and then we'll comment on these.
Before I read them, I just wanted to add that Paul often speaks about the gospel, and he always says the gospel of God.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel of God.
Right.
Because it originates from God. It
mm-hmm.
is his good news
right.
that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's
right.
a couple passages here that Mark Dever jots down. One is found in Nehemiah 9 and verse 6, which states, "You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you."
Mm-hmm. I think the implication there is that God, the Lord, is the center of everything, from the heavens to the earth to the seas. And,
right.
and if we're going to be talking about the gospel, which obviously we are,
right.
we have to begin, end, and center everything around him. It, like you just mentioned before, it is his gospel.
Exactly. Well, it's his world, too. And we need to realize that as well. You know, the debate about evolutionary theory still swirls in most educational settings
right.
today. And there's this vehement disagreement with the concept of God as creator. But the evolutionists themselves cannot account for everything coming from nothing. They have no way to explain that. Well, we do.
Right.
It's God. It's all of God's stuff.
Well, the Bible begins with that statement of fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And
exactly.
There's no debate about it. You either accept the Bible at face value from verse 1,
right,
or you're going to be in trouble,
yep,
from there on in.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true. And at least the heavenly host has enough sense to bow down before,
right,
him because of that.
Even the demonic hosts.
Exactly.
No, they don't necessarily,
right,
bow down.
They know the
truth,
and they tremble.
Right.
Right. Okay. What's another passage there?
Psalm 98, verse 9. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. And again, that states a very important fact, especially that he is coming to judge the earth. And his judgment is based upon truth. We know,
mm-hmm,
that the judge of all the earth will do right.
Right.
And this truth is what we are talking about. We're talking about the truth of the gospel.
Right.
And so Mark Dever concludes with a summation by stating, God therefore has the right of ownership over us by virtue of creating us, and he has the right to punish or reward us by virtue of his royal judicial office. And because God is both our creator and judge, we are doubly accountable to him for all our behavior, word, thought, and deed.
That's very well put there. Let's go back to that Psalm 98:9 for a minute and talk about this word, the final word there, equity. What does that mean?
Fairly, or with justice, I guess, is probably the better definition.
Okay, or with equal,
right,
justice. Right. In other words, no one will escape the judgment of God on the basis of anything in and of themselves.
Well, I mean, we all understand, even in human courts, even in a country with as good a system, you know, as we have, humanly speaking,
right,
there are still mistakes made by judges, lawyers, people. I mean, innocent people are sent to jail, or
right,
guilty people get off out of jail, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And it makes us upset, and other countries are even worse,
right,
or many countries. But the good thing we know about the Lord as judge is that when he passes a sentence, as he will at the end of time, there cannot be any discussion. Every mouth will be stopped.
Exactly.
You're either innocent in the blood of Christ, not on your own works,
right,
or you're guilty. And at that point, not one person in the whole history of humanity will be able to say, you know, objection,
right,
to,
right,
the condemnation given.
Exactly. That's what we need to understand. The standard by which we will all be judged is God's standard, not our own. People tell me all the time, well, it's just not fair for God to allow this to happen, or,
mm-hmm,
for God to cause this to happen. It's just not fair. By whose standard? It is certainly fair by God's standard, or,
right,
he wouldn't do it.
Right.
So we need to understand that judgment is coming, and it will be with equity. Okay, let's turn our attention to man. Mark Dever says here, man was created by God in God's image to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But man sinned against God by disobeying his holy law. Man therefore separated himself from God's holy and satisfying presence and incurred his wrathful displeasure. What are some scriptures to support that, Kenny?
Well, he gives three Bible verses here, and and each of these three deal with the three aspects of his definition of man.
Mm-hmm.
One, that we're created in God's image, but secondly, we have sinned, and third, because of that sin, we are receiving, or will receive, the wrath of God.
Right.
He begins in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is where we begin when we talk about the gospel. We have been created,
mm-hmm,
in the image of God. We,
right,
bear, although in a fallen way now, but we bear the imprint of,
mm-hmm,
God in our souls.
Right.
And that's, you know, a vital part of our gospel. As we talked about earlier with evolution,
mm-hmm,
if you believe in evolution, if,
right,
you, notice the word, by the way, believe,
mm-hmm,
you know, because it is an issue of faith. If,
sure,
you believe that,
sure,
the world is by chance, then you cannot believe that we've been created in God's image, and that we have souls, and that we're eternal beings, which is a vital part of understanding the gospel.
Right.
Secondly, in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Right. Right.
That's the second element of understanding man, that,
mm-hmm,
we've been created in his image, but Adam and Eve and the whole Genesis 3, we sinned.
Right.
And because of that, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness.
Right. Ken, can you speak to the context that Romans 1 passage is set in? I'm speaking in terms of, you know, why is it that Paul can say, under inspiration, of course, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness? Isn't this just a simple case of ignorance? What does it mean when it says they suppress the truth?
Yeah, it's not just a simple case of ignorance. It is a willful ignorance. In fact, the word suppress means hold down.
Right.
That they hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Not only do they reject the truth about God and who He is,
right,
and of course, even we can extend that and say that they reject the truth about their fallenness, that they are sinners before God. But not only do they do that willfully, suppress the truth about God and who they are, but they do it in such a way that the Bible calls it unrighteousness. That
right.
is all of their unrighteous deeds. And in the context of Romans 1, of course, we don't have time to read the entire passage, but everything from denying the existence of God to acts of wickedness that we hesitate to even say over the air,
mm-hmm.
Homosexuality and bestiology, and we can go on and on. And these are tough words, I understand. But it implies that, and if you go into the history of Romans 1 and what that history is being, what it is revealing,
right.
you find the judgment of God falling upon that several times in the Old Testament.
Right.
What's
right.
interesting in that Romans 1 passage,
mm-hmm.
excuse us, we're all like sniffling and sneezing right,
right
now,
right.
That two or three times the word exchange is used,
mm-hmm.
that, as you just mentioned, that this is not some accident,
right.
some sort of will or some accidental ignorance,
right.
but there's been a purposeful exchange
right.
of the truths of God for a lie,
right.
exchanging the glory of God, exchange for the incorruptible, and so on. And so the human condition is not some just accident or just byproduct of just evolution, but it is a purposeful rejection of these essential elements of the gospel.
Right, right.
And the result of it is found also in Romans 1, that God gave them up. God gave them over to do what they want to do, to reprobate mind and to do acts such as are mentioned there in Romans chapter 1.
You know, it's interesting this conversation has taken this turn, because what we're seeing in society today is an attempt to legislate morality. Kenny, you okay?
He's just kind of banging into the microphone there.
Kenny, you're not falling asleep, are you?
No.
Okay.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Hope our audience isn't. That's
yeah,
important.
Exactly.
If I fall asleep, it doesn't matter.
But what we're seeing in our society today is an attempt to legislate not morality, but immorality. When we see in this passage that men suppress the truth in unrighteousness, we can see this in the current legislation that many are seeking to have passed concerning hate crimes
mm-hmm.
and hate speech. When the Bible tells us that one of the sins that man falls into is the exchanging of the natural function of a man and a woman, homosexuality, for example.
Right.
When the Bible clearly says that that is sin, and we are told by the leaders of this country that we will no longer be able to say that, that is the ultimate example in my mind of suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, it's a total disregard for.
Yeah, there are some countries. I mean, Western civilized countries
right.
that they cannot say that. Thank the Lord, at least up to this point.
Right.
To 2009, I'm banging around again, 2009, we can still talk about these things openly.
Right.
But we should keep praying that the freedom continues.
Exactly.
Put it on the radio waves or wherever.
Yeah, and our response to anyone who might be listening and might be considering doing something that would be negative to us in this radio broadcast, we simply respond as the apostles of old did. We rather obey God
right.
than man.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Amen.
Okay, we're talking now about the third element here when we talk about the four essentials of the gospel, and that is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Mark Dever says here, Jesus Christ's death was the substitute payment for the penalty that we deserved for our sin. His death is God's only provision for the forgiveness of man's sin and the appeasement of God's wrath against him. And then there's three passages. Number one here is Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Of course, this is a prophetic passage speaking of
right.
the Lord Jesus Christ, who was that spotless Lamb of God who, as John declared, would take away the sin of the world. Also, John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. This is another area that's being attacked in the age of pluralism in which we live. We see people all the time saying, well, there are many paths to God.
Mm-hmm.
That if one believes very faithfully in Allah, for example, they stand just as good a chance of going to heaven as anybody who is a Buddhist, who follows Buddhism to the letter.
Right, right.
Or Sikhs, or Hindus, or any of those other religions. According to the Word of God, that's simply not true.
Right.
Was it Jesus... you know, himself who said, was it not Jesus himself
right.
who said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me.
Right.
You know, and I think that's lost on a lot of religious people in the world today. What do you guys think?
What I was going to mention just a second ago, we're talking about the essentials of the gospel
uh-huh.
here.
Right.
We've talked about, you know, the Creator, God, and Judge, and we talked about the horrible condition that man mm-hmm. is in.
Right.
And now when we talk about this third element of the essential elements of the gospel, that the substitutionary payment for the sins of sinners by Christ, this is the best news that we can possibly talk about.
Right, right.
We are talking here about forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is, I mean, where everything is either going to rise or fall for every person's destiny. What
right.
you believe about this will change your eternal life, your
right.
present life as well as your eternal life.
Exactly.
And if you believe that you can find happiness outside of this or God-ordained path, it's only going to lead to tragedy
oh, yeah.
in this life
yeah.
as well as the next.
No doubt. No doubt.
And furthermore, this is the absolute objective truth of the gospel.
Right.
It is Jesus Christ, believing in him or nothing.
Right.
If you reject the only one that was sent by God, God's only Son, then you've rejected it all, and you're going to go to hell.
Right.
That's the point.
How unkind.
I'm sorry. But that is the reality. That is you believe in him or perish.
Right.
There's just no two ways about it.
Well, who are you to tell me that I'm going to perish if I don't believe? I mean, that's kind of harsh.
Well, I am just quoting the Word of God. I'm quoting the words of Jesus. He that believes on the Son has life. He who does not believe on the Son does not have life.
Right. Well, and that's another thing that just really sets me on edge, is when people say, well, who are you to tell me? I'm not telling you anything except what the Lord has told me in his Word. And it's very clear. Anybody can understand that. So, you know, don't shoot the messenger. You know, all you people out there who may have stumbled upon this station by mistake, and the only thing you're hearing now is this little 30-second dialogue, don't shoot the messenger. I'm only telling you that you stand, you know, a 99.9999% chance of going to hell because I hold out that 1/100th or 1/1000th of a percent
right.
that you will come to Christ. But we're only telling you that the penalty for sin is death, because that's what our scriptures tell us is true, and we believe that.
What's interesting about this, where this discussion has just gone, this has led us already, without mentioning it, to the fourth essential element. You go from God to man to Christ, and what is that fourth element?
You just stole my segue.
I know, but I wasn't sure if you were going to do that segue or not. So
I was going to do that segue, and I was going to do it by setting it up thusly. You want to hear it?
Yeah, I would like to hear your segue.
Yours was probably better than mine, but...
We'll let the people decide.
You know, we need to emphasize, I think, we're talking about the response now.
Right.
We need to emphasize that the response to the gospel is not simply an intellectual assent to a certain set of truths.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In other words, we're not talking about an exercise of the mind that will result in salvation. We're talking about a change of the human heart that must be, must occur as a result of the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit that enables you to believe those facts. So, what will happen in conjunction with that belief? Do you just believe and then everything's good and once saved, always saved, and you live how you want? No. Mark Dever says we're called to respond to this good news in repentance and belief, turning away from our sin and self-sufficiency toward God and trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the substitute penalty that we deserved to pay for our own sin. And there's a couple of passages there. Ken, you want to read those?
Yeah. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. And then we read in Luke 24, thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead, the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem.
Okay, and we know, let's give a definition here. Repentance means to turn away from one's sins.
Right.
And toward God. Now, this is another thing that's misunderstood about repentance, too. Repentance is a turning away from sin, but it doesn't stop there. A lot of people stop there and say, well, I'm not going to sin anymore. It's not the turning away. It's what you turn toward.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that must be God and God alone.
In other words, it's not just a willful decision, but it is also delighting oneself now in God and his forgiveness.
Right, which is the true fruit of regeneration.
And the act of repentance, turning away and turning toward,
right,
is an act of faith. Because
right,
you're believing that if I turn toward this object,
right,
in this case, God,
right,
I will receive forgiveness.
Right.
Because you could turn, but not really believe that what's happening toward you or
right,
to you
right,
is effectual.
Right.
So that's why I often repent and believe. And
right,
repentance and belief, it goes, you know, hand in hand every single time.
Exactly. Well, we're almost out of time. I would just invite everyone, if you're intrigued by what you hear, if this is new to you, even you could even be a Christian, a professing believer, and these things be new to you. If you're interested in hearing more, we would invite you to come to Free Grace Baptist Church, which is at 1801 Thorain Boulevard here in San Antonio, Texas. We have our services at 9:45 on Sunday morning, at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and we also have a service at 1:30 in the afternoon. Now, these are separate and distinct services. We don't preach the same message all 3 hours. So, if you want the whole experience...
How about three times?
We don't use that word, experience. If you want the whole enjoyment of worship...
Right.
Please come and see us. If you want to hear more from this program, we have all of our programs archived at www.sermonaudio.com/freegracebaptist. We're out of time.
All right.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Truth Matters, the weekly radio teaching ministry of Free Grace Baptist Church of San Antonio, Texas. Free Grace Baptist Church is located at 1801 Thorain Boulevard. Meeting times each Lord's Day are 9:45 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1:30 p.m. Our weekly prayer meetings are held each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. If you would like to visit on the web, you can find us at freegracebaptist.org. Thank you again for listening, and may God continue to richly bless you through the faithful study of His Word.